From Portland, Oregon, we're APA Compass Radio, the Pacific Northwest's only Asian Pacific American public affairs radio show. Find podcasts of our program at apacompass.wordpress.com or contact us on Facebook. Thanks for listening to APA Compass Radio.
Thanks for tuning in to APA Compass on KBOO. I'm Sarika Mehta. Back in April, I had the privilege of chatting with award-winning writer Chitra Banerjee Divakaruni. She lives in Houston, Texas, hails from Calcutta, India, and spent her graduate school years at the University of California at Berkeley. Chitra's accolades include publishing a number of best-selling novels, such as Sister of My Heart and her award-winning collection of stories, Arranged Marriage. She recently published her latest novel, Oleander Girl, which tells the story of a Bengali girl from a traditional family who comes upon a family secret that leads her to the United States and a post-9/11 world. Chitra stopped in Portland on her book tour and chatted with me at KBOO. We began our conversation on writing from the perspective of her own various identities and making her work accessible to a wider audience.
Well, I believe, and this comes out of my experience as a reader, that if it's a good story and you've created a strong character and you've really brought details of the setting to life, that readers can connect across cultures. You know, readers are pretty smart that way. If they're emotionally engaged, they'll make a lot of leaps. So I just try to create a strong story. I try to create interesting characters who are in interesting situations, often situations of conflict. And then I just let the story take over and take me where it has to go. And I find that that is not a problem for readers. When I do events, I see that my events are split. They're about 50-50, people from South Asian origins and people who are not. And everyone seems to understand. So I have great faith in the intelligence of readers and in the power of imagery, because I think when those things come together, an experience is created and a lot of things are understood just kind of at the heart level.
Our conversation moved to inspiration, specifically what inspired the story behind Oleander Girl and why this experience was so unique to her other novels.
You know, Oleander Girl was an unusual book for me because it took several years to write. With a lot of my other books, I can distinctly remember the moment when the inspiration for the book came to me. But with Oleander Girl, I've been thinking about these ideas for a long, long time. So the book kind of seeped into me. And one of the major ideas in Oleander Girl is the clash between the old and the new, which I see in India so much. Every time I visit, India's moving so fast. It's rushing headlong to take its rightful place in the 21st century. And as it does that, there's so many changes and innovations and so much technology and a faster lifestyle. But also, there's a traditional part of India, thousands of years old culture, and all of that is very important to India as well. And those things are clashing, they're in conflict with each other. So in Oleander Girl, I try to show that conflict between Korubi, our protagonist, our female protagonist, who comes from a very old Bengal family, very prestigious. Like the street outside her home is named after her great-grandfather, mm-hmm. right? And she falls in love with Rajut, who is very much new India. You know, they're new money, they're looking ahead, they're internet savvy, their business is art, selling art. They've opened this huge gallery in Manhattan. So it's in their relationship is that clash between the old and the new. And as you can imagine, they're attracted to each other because of their differences. But those differences will cause a problem as the book goes on. When I think about it, I realize that we're never one or the other. We're in each of us, it's a mix of the modern and the ancient, things that we love about the old culture and things that absolutely drive us crazy about it. So we're a combination of that. And Korobi, especially as the book progresses and she discovers a secret, which we won't give away, but that secret is going to propel her to America. And she's going to start changing very rapidly once she's by herself alone in America. And not just any America, the America of 2002, post 9/11 America. So I think I am also that kind of combination of old and new. There are things that I love about our Indian traditions and things that I don't think are right. And the same with America. There's lots of things I love about being an American, being American. And there are things that I don't want to be a part of.
In 2002, the United States was grieving from 9/11. Oftentimes, this grief took ugly forms of personal attacks on brown-skinned people. India's western city of Godhra experienced a tragic time of communal violence between Hindu and Muslim communities. Chitra discussed weaving these events into her story of Oleander Girl.
Yeah, that was one of the other major themes of the book. I wanted to explore difference. How do we live with difference? And how important it is to live amicably with difference. Because now we are this global world, we're really pushed up against people who are not like us, much more than in the past when we could stay in our little groups in our home cities and never move. But now all around us are people who look different, who eat different foods, who follow a different religion, who wear different clothes, and more importantly, who think differently, whose ideologies are different. And when we come up in close contact with them, how are we to live in amity with this difference? So this book examines what happens when we don't, when we hate people just because they're different and we feel that they can be destroyed because being different, they're less human than we are. And that's, in a way, that's what leads to 9/11. In a way, that's what leads to the terrible Godhra riots, with the repercussions from which will go all across India and impact Rajat's family as well. In Oleander Girl, these issues are really important, but I had to make sure that they didn't come across as like preaching, because then that just destroys a novel. So these issues had to rise out of character. I mean, they're events that happen in the world, but how they impact the characters in the book, that's really what was most important, how the characters feel in the book. And another a part of the story that became very interesting to me, because I hadn't planned on it, but it just kind of took on its own life, is the character of Asif, who is Rajat's family chauffeur. And his situation is interesting, particularly post-Godhra, because he's a Muslim driver in a Hindu family. And after Godhra, there's a lot of pressure on him to quit his job and not work for a Hindu.
And not support this staunchly Hindu family. Not
support them by working for them.
Right.
But on the other hand, he has developed a great affection for the daughter of the family, this little girl who reminds him of a sister that he had who died when she was about the same age. And so, you know, here's the human connection, here's the political disconnect. How do you deal with something like that? I think that's the human story. That's what makes a novel interesting.
While pursuing her graduate studies, Chitra co-founded a domestic abuse shelter for South Asian women. She discussed the importance of having a shelter for this community, as well as how these issues manifest in the larger cultural perspective.
That's right. I was one of the co-founders of Maitri, which has now grown into a big and powerful and wonderful organization in the Bay Area. It was the first organization of its kind to help South Asian survivors of domestic violence or women who were trying to break out of domestic violence situations. And I think I just kind of came into it slowly. I started by working with the Women's Center on campus. Then I started volunteering at mainstream shelters. And then we realized the need of a South Asian shelter, because often these women are in such distress that they cannot go to a mainstream shelter. It's just too difficult for them. But a South Asian shelter, they feel more comfortable. They're more willing to come there for
culturally,
and they feel like they don't have to explain their whole culture when they go on top of all of the trauma that they're facing. So, yeah, and now I live in Houston, and I'm on the advisory board of DIA, which is a similar organization. So working with women who have been in situations of domestic violence really made me realize how complex this problem is, particularly in the South Asian society, because it comes out of, I think, misunderstandings of what a woman's role is, how a woman should be treated. And there's often, you know, there's this kind of belief that a wife needs to put up with whatever her husband decides to, you know, hand out to her. And if she does anything against that, it will shame her family. And so these are some of the cultural issues that I have to work with. And all of us who are in the field of domestic violence prevention, we have to work with these. So I think this is connected to what Oleander Girl is about. Although this is not about domestic violence, it is about control. And the family secret that has been kept from Korubi all her life, part of the reason for keeping that secret is to control Korubi. Part of the reason that secret occurred in the first place is because there was a desire to control another woman in the family. So I just thought that although on one level family secrets seem like, you know, it's a wonderful like plot device, really they come out of some very deep, deep-rooted problems in our thinking about women. I think that's so important to remember. I'm writing about violence against women in the South Asian context because that's the world I write about. But violence against women is a worldwide problem. It is something that, as thinking human beings, we need to consider. We need to consider and think about what we can do about it. A lot of people are very uncomfortable dealing with domestic violence and violence against women, rape, things like that. A lot of people just don't want to bring it up. And a lot of people get angry because some of my books deal with these issues of not just violence against women, but if you look at it from a positive angle, the empowerment of women, which will hopefully prevent such situations from happening. And not just the empowerment of women, but the consideration of a woman as a valuable human being who deserves to be treated decently, you know, decently with consideration. So a lot of people are just uncomfortable with that idea, but I figure as a writer, I just have to write about things that are important to me, that matter to me. So I've pretty much stopped caring what people will think. I just try to create a really good story with a strong character that people will care about. And my hope is, because that's happened to me as a reader, my hope is sometimes the books will change people's minds about how they believe, what they believe. Because sometimes we believe things because we don't know any better. We believe things because we haven't come across the truth of this issue. We've just heard about it, or we've seen it from a very far distance. But a book really allows us to get into the minds and hearts of people in a very wonderful, inviting, and non-threatening way. So it's my belief that books change lives. Books have certainly changed my life.
Given the intense nature of the content and the lack of well-known South Asian American writers at the time, I did wonder how the South Asian American community reacted to her books.
When Arranged Marriage came out, which also deals with a lot of complex relationship and role issues, women who change after they come to the U.S., and Mistress of Spices has a character who is in a situation of domestic violence, and another character who is having major conflicts with her intergenerational family because she's chosen to marry outside of the Indian family. When these books came out, I think there was a lot of outcry in the South Asian American community, because at that time there were not that many writers writing about the South Asian community, the South Asian American community, I should say. So this is, you know, mid-90s, mid-90s, right? So I think, you know, Bharati Mukherjee was there. There were many Asian writers, but there weren't that many South Asian writers writing about the immigration experience. So there was a hue and cry. There was a sense of, oh, you're giving away our secrets, and now everybody will think we're no longer, we're not that model minority community. But I think people got over it because now the reaction is pretty positive. I think our community has also progressed. We are much more confident of ourselves. We feel that we have a place in America and we don't have to be a model minority anymore. We can be a rich, complex, diverse community.
In addition to Oleander Girl, Chitra also recently published her first children's book, Grandma and the Gourd, based on a folktale that she herself grew up hearing.
Yes, it has been such a pleasure to write this children's picture book. Grandma and the Great Gourd is written from a story my own grandfather used to tell me when I was little in India. He was to say this story to me in Bengali. It comes out of our oral tradition. So it was a great deal of fun just writing that down, writing that story down, remembering the sounds that he used to make, remembering like words out of my language, a lot of rhythm and rhyme and onomatopoeia. So, and it's one of, it's a very typical folk tale. It's kind of a hero's journey. One of the things I love about this story, which, you know, I've kept in its original form, is that the hero is a grandmother. Oh. Isn't that cool?
That is really cool.
And she's going to undertake a dangerous journey through the forest to go see her daughter. And then she's going to come back through the forest. But there are all these animals waiting to eat her up. And grandma has to, like, use her wits and figure out how she can get out of this predicament. Thank you. Oh, I love being at KBU. It reminds me of my student days at Berkeley. And I love Portland. My experience with Portland has been very positive. I think Portland is a city of readers, and I appreciate that.
That was award-winning author Chitra Banerjee Divakaruni. She recently published her latest novel, Oleander Girl, as well as a children's story, Grandma and the Gourd. You can keep up with her at her website, ChitraDivakaruni.com, and on Facebook at Facebook.com/ChitraDivakaruni. I'm Sarika Mehta, and you're listening to APA Compass on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland.